today on Life Talk.
Complaining is very, very detrimental to our walk. It's what ultimately kept the entire first generation of Hebrews from the promised land. Imagine that. They dug their own grave with their tongue. They didn't need a shovel, they had their tongue. They were not allowed to cross over into the promised land, ultimately because of complaining. They were chronic complainers.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
In our last broadcast, we began to look at three key people the Apostle Paul uses as examples of how to walk in love and unity in our churches. His first example was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is, it goes without saying, the greatest example of them all. Now this time we're going to look at Paul's examples of Timothy and Epaphroditus, how they sacrificed for the cause of Christ and placed the well-being of the church above themselves is a lesson for all of us. So let's get started today with the message entitled, The Examples of Timothy and Epaphroditus. Last time we closed out with chapter 2, verse 13. Which describes how God gives both the desire and the power to do his will. I believe one of the earmarks of somebody truly saved is they have a desire to please God. Because let's face it, in the natural, left to ourselves, we have no desire to please God. It's when God gives us a new nature that we really want to walk pleasing with the Lord. Amen? So he gives us the want to do and the power to do the will of God. Now, in verse 14, the apostle tackles again the issue of disunity and strife in the church. Can you believe there was disunity and strife in the church back then? Aren't you glad it doesn't happen anymore? So Paul is dealing with it, and what he writes lets us know how to deal with it in our day. And he says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Now, that's what I love about Paul. He makes it easy. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Try that for a week. I challenge you to try not complaining for 1 week. Amen? How many of you think you would bat 1,000 there? Not complaining one time for a whole week. Right? Okay. That would not be very easy. Now, complaining comes from a discontented soul. And so does arguing. It's one of the sins that grieves the Holy Spirit so very much. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. So complaining grieves the Spirit of God. It's one of the things that just grieves him. And you can feel the grieving on the inside of you. If you go into a real complaining fit, you never feel better. You always feel worse. And why do you feel worse? Well, one reason is because the Spirit of God in you is grieved. I think often Christians will feel a little bit blue and sometimes wonder why they feel blue. Well, sometimes you're in a battle and sometimes you're just kind of maybe tired, but sometimes you've grieved the Holy Spirit and don't know it because he lives inside of us. So grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, complaining is very, very detrimental to our walk. It's what ultimately kept the entire first generation of Hebrews from the promised land. Imagine that. They dug their own grave with their tongue. They didn't need a shovel. They had their tongue. And they dug their own grave. They were not allowed to cross over into the promised land, ultimately because of complaining. They were chronic complainers. They made Moses finally say to God, God, kill me. right? Because they were complaining all the time. He said, how do you expect me to deal with all these people that are complaining all the time? So they literally missed out on their destiny because of complaining. I could spend more time on that, but we need to move along. Suffice it to say, try not to complain. Paul says we Christians should be isolated from it. Why should we be isolated from it? Why should we try and work at and strive and reach for never complaining or disputing? Here's why. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Notice how he defines us. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, would you agree with me tonight that we live in a perverse and crooked generation? Come on, everybody. I mean, is it at a place you never thought you would see? Am I alone feeling that way? All right. Now, what does he say? So I want you to notice that when you as a believer are in a crooked and perverse generation, you are to shine like lights in the world. But if you're walking around complaining and disputing, it's hard to shine. Now, the word blameless means without reproach. Harmless means simple. Now, that doesn't mean dumb as in simple as in dumb, but it means we're to be unfamiliar with these things. We're to be innocent of these things. We're not to be really versed in complaining and disputing and arguing all the time. We are to be innocent of it, simple concerning it. It shouldn't be happening with us. The more we grow in the Lord, the less and less those things should be happening. Less complaining and less disputing. It's because we're to shine as lights in the world. We live in a perverted, depraved, and rebel culture. And watch this, when a non-Christian in that culture sees a professing Christian, now I'm just going where Paul went, get ready to grab your toes. I had to grab mine before I came and taught this. But here's what Paul is saying. When a non-Christian in that perverted, depraved, and rebel culture sees a professing Christian at work or at home who's argumentative, hard to get along with, worldly in his conversation and behavior, using profanity. Well, I just use profanity because I'm a good old boy. No, you're not a good old boy if you're saved. You're not a good old boy. You are a brand new believer, okay? So using profanity, telling off-color jokes, gossiping about others in the workplace and so on and so forth, losing your temper, the unbeliever is going to be utterly unimpressed with your claim that you know Jesus and he's made a difference in your life. Okay? Now, okay, I'm not perfect. I'm as flawed as anybody in this room, and I've made plenty of mistakes, and I'll make more. Isn't that a great confession? But I know I will. Of course I will. But here's the deal. Something has happened in the church. I'm going to say in the last 20 to 30 years, I've been preaching a long time. I can look back and just look at what it was and what it is. Something has kind of infiltrated the church, a sort of a thought that I can be saved, but then not live according to the book. Or I can cherry pick what I want to live by and ignore the rest. Put another way, we have adopted a type of situational ethic in the church that I'm going to follow the word based on my situation. If my situation is advantageous to me following the word, then I'll do it. But if it's something where it requires sacrifice or me bending my knee to the lordship of Christ, crucifying my nasty flesh, then I choose not to go there. And after all, God understands because me and him, we got a good thing going. But here's the deal. The minute we're saved, the Bible is our book. It's our book. It's our roadmap. It's a map. Now, before there were GPSs and you had to follow those terrible maps, some of you are old enough to remember this, these terribly complicated, I mean, just thinking back to these maps gives me the creeps. I mean, anybody that could use them had a genius level IQ. I mean, they were just hard to follow. But when you were having to follow these maps, let's say you were going from here to New York, long trip, and so you've got this roadmap. You don't have a GPS talking to you, telling you which way to turn. You're having to follow the roadmap. All right? And so you take off and you head down a certain highway. And at this juncture, you're going to turn. And that juncture, you're going to make another turn. And here, you're going to pick up another highway. And you're knowing that this is a complicated journey. So I ask you, how often during any given day when you're making that long journey, are you going to be looking at that map to be sure you're going the right way? I would contend with you, you're going to be looking all the time, because last thing you want to do is get off and go hundreds of miles out of your way and lose all that gas and all that time because you didn't follow that map. All right, we're in a lifelong journey with Christ. And we need to every day, that's why every day we need to be looking at the roadmap and saying, am I on the right road? Am I making the right decisions? Am I living in a way that pleases God? Am I doing this right and that right? And am I making the right turn? And am I avoiding this like I should and avoiding that like I should? But see, in the church, something has happened where we've just decided that certain parts of it just don't apply. And they do. The Bible is our roadmap. And let me tell you, if you don't follow it closely, you're going to end up 100 miles off and wonder how you got there. Have you ever woke up and said, how in the world did I get this far from God? Come on. How did I get this far from God? Have you ever floated on a raft out in the ocean and said, well, I'm just going to kick back and take a little snooze and enjoy this beautiful weather? It's cool. The shore is right there. And you sit up 10 minutes later and you're so far out, you're looking for shark fins. You go, how did I get way out here? Because the current, the undertow took you there. Well, this world has an undertow. And it will carry you where you don't want to go if you don't stay real close to the roadmap. Amen? So Paul says, holding fast, holding tight the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Holding forth the word of life, the testimony of Jesus, is the way we're to carry ourselves on this dark planet. Paul says, be sure your walk comes before your talk. If you do that, Paul says, I didn't minister in vain. Amen? Because folks, let me tell you the truth, whole denominations are adrift out there that used to be the ground and pillar of the truth. They used to stay with the scriptures. They used to preach the cross and the blood and salvation and heaven and hell and everything. And now they're completely adrift. And how did they get there? They put the word of God out. I'm speaking to a group of young nationals tomorrow morning who've been brought in from countries around the world. And I've been asked to speak an hour to them. And I'm going to tell them, first thing I'm going to tell them, I'm giving you a preview. First thing I'm going to tell them, these are preachers. Some of them are church planters. Some of them are evangelists. But all of them are young movers and shakers. And I'm going to start at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I've got at least an hour. The very first thing I'm going to tell them, lessons from the trenches. Never, 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 never depart from the word of God. Never. Never leave it. Never depart from the word of God. Because the minute you do, you're going to start a slow drift.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us. along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too, so let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us, or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
So every day, and I've been preaching, I've been pastoring 35 years. I've been preaching since I was 19, and I need to be in the Word now more than ever in my whole life. I mean, that's the way I feel. So first thing in the morning, I grab my coffee that God made on the eighth day, and He said, it is good. And I go straight to my Bible. And I'm reading through the Bible in a year, every year. I do it, and I'm not patting myself on the back or saying, aren't I super spiritual? No, I do it because I know better not to. See, I've got to keep my nose in the book. And so do you. Amen? Verses 17 to 18, he says, I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. Listen to this man of God, the Apostle Paul. I'm going to say it again. I think the greatest Christian ever lived. Greatest Christian that ever lived. Look what he says concerning the possibility he may lose his life. I rejoice if I lose my life for the cause of Christ. How many people do you know that would say that? If I told you tonight, you're losing your life for the cause of Christ this time next week, how many of you would proceed to have a nervous breakdown? But Paul said, I rejoice. Amen. And this is just where he was. I'm pouring my life out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. So Paul was always ready to give his life in the cause of Christ. He was always ready. He viewed it as an offering to the God who had given his only son to die for him. He tells the Philippians he wants them to share this joy of his, and he in turn would share their joy in Christ. He's literally telling this church that he birthed, I'm joyful about the possibility of losing my life for the cause of Christ if God so deems fit to bring me there, and I want you to rejoice with me. That's a hard call because they loved him. But here again is why we call this the letter of joy, because Paul's talking about joy all the time, and he's talking about joy from a Roman prison. How do you do that? You do that by being really close to the Lord Jesus. Paul had a stake in the Philippians as his spiritual children, and they had a stake in him as their apostle, whose ministry they financially supported. We're going to talk about that more in a moment. So the apostle of joy says to them, I'll share your joy, you share in mine. Then next, after first holding up Christ as an example of how he wants them to live, the attitude he wants them to cultivate, he holds up another example of the kind of Christian service we should all aspire to in the person of Timothy. He's going to hold up Timothy as a second example. He's dealing with three examples, Jesus, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. He's encouraging the Philippians, let me tell you how I want you to walk. Instead of disputing with each other, being argumentative, having strife, he said, let me give you three premier examples of how to live. Last week, we showed his example of Christ. Now tonight, he's holding up Timothy. Look at verse 19. If the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along. Now, a little background about Timothy. Timothy was Paul's child in the faith. Most likely, he was saved during Paul's first missionary journey. His mother and grandmother were both model Jewish women, and his father was Greek, Gentile. His father apparently died when he was very young. So he lost his dad young, Timothy did. So his mother and grandmother had raised him, and they gave him a really good working knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures that Paul brags on them about in one of his letters to Timothy. Timothy, it turns out, became one of Paul's most frequent companions, starting with his second missionary journey. He was with him all the way to the end. He became the first pastor of the church at Ephesus, this Timothy did. And according to Nicephorus, and that's a later Roman emperor, and that's all you need to know about Nicephorus, but in his writings, we are told Timothy was clubbed to death at a feast of Diana for denouncing its immorality. So Timothy was martyred. Timid Timothy, who Paul had to tell, hey, stir up the gift of God that's within you. God had given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Come on, Timothy, don't be afraid. Don't be timid. Get with it. Preach the gospel. Do the work of an evangelist. I know you're a pastor, but don't forget to win souls. Amen. That Timothy took his father in the face advice and preached so good, so hard, so boldly, they beat him to death, and he went to Jesus as a martyr. Think about that for a minute. I want to give you a little side note here. Isn't it interesting that we're told today that Christians should not denounce the sins of our culture. I've been told that. I have been told that. Don't get up there and denounce the sins of the culture. You're going to turn some people off. And I said, what? Say that again? What do you mean I'm going to turn them off? Was Jesus worried about that? And they said, because you're going to turn them off to the message of Christ, and after all, we shouldn't judge, which is a total misinterpretation of the Bible. Jesus told us to judge. He just said use righteous judgment. When he says in Matthew 7, verse 1, don't judge lest you be judged, he's talking about the wrong kind of judgment. Don't judge hypocritically. If you're doing the same thing, don't judge somebody else for doing what you're doing. So that's the kind of judgment he told us not to do. But we're supposed to judge righteously. Now, John the Baptist, I remind you, lost his head for calling out the sin of a politician, Herod's adultery. And Timothy was beat to death for calling out the immorality of his culture's idolatry. I wonder what John the Baptist and Timothy would say if you told them they should have stayed silent. Just a thought. I'm just throwing that out there. This has nothing to do really with the book of Philippians. This is free. I'll tell you, anytime you're told, don't share the word of God, keep your mouth shut, that is not the Holy Spirit. 9 times out of 10. Every once in a while, the Holy Spirit will say, hold back, wait for the best moment. But fear, intimidation are not from the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, Paul proceeds to brag on Timothy's character. And look at verse 20. For I have no one like-minded. I'm going to send Timothy to you, Philippian church, and I've got no one like-minded who's going to sincerely care for your state. He loves you, and he really does love you. He really does care for you. Now, people who think like Paul are rare in any age. I don't think there's a person on the planet who would have Paul's depth of thought right now in our day and age. There's a lot of very, very spiritual people, but I would doubt there's a Paul anywhere on the planet right now. Apparently, in all of Rome, think about this, Paul couldn't find one believer he could send to Philippi to check on their state, how they're doing. He couldn't find one believer. In all the people he knew, all the people he'd won to Christ, he couldn't come up with one. Some had the giftedness, but not the time. Some had the talent and the time, but not the temperament. No one was as much like Paul as Timothy. I want you to say with me, it matters who you run with. Because who you run with is going to rub off on you. Because you see, here's Timothy. He's traveling with Paul everywhere. Paul's rubbing off on him. Paul's character, the way he looked at things, the way he talked, the way he walked with the Lord. It's all being learned by Timothy. And so it ended up Timothy was about as close to Paul as you could find. And he said, here's one of the things that makes him a standout. He really naturally cares for the people. It's not pretense. It's not put on. He really cares for you, Philippian church. He wasn't a hireling doing it for the money. He was a Christ-like servant that loved the people. And then Paul drops a stinging indictment that I think is still true of today. Verse 21, all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Now, I would say not everybody on the entire planet seeks their own. There are some crucified people that walk with the Lord. But I will say most people on the planet seek their own. They're out after number one, taking care of number one, following the desires of number one. They are the ones on the throne of their life. Most people are selfish by nature. So am I. And if I hadn't gotten saved, I would probably be supremely selfish today. How many of you can say, when God got me, I was very selfish? How many of you can say, I deal with selfishness still? The rest of you, you're lying, sitting here lying. Come on, how many of you still deal with selfishness? Come on. Sure you do. We have to crucify, and so God will bless you with all kinds of trying things in your life to help you learn to not be selfish.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before, or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.